Hi, I'm Tom, and this is AC on the Short Alpha Clash podcast, where I'll talk all things Alpha Clash on my way to work. So, this week I want to touch on two subjects. I'm going to talk about spoilers, because we're still in the midst of spoiler season, which will continue, I guess, until end of May, when the set comes out, when Arrival arrives. But I might be missing something really juicy because I'm recording early. I'm not going to work on Friday because of Easter. So I'm recording this a bit early. If there's something really juicy I'm missing, I'm gonna put it on next week. I want to keep the schedule rolling, so I might be missing something, but then we'll catch up. But before we go into spoilers and the four cards I've picked out to talk about, I want to touch on the meta tournament in the Philippines. They had at least in Alpha Clash terms, a fairly large competition, a fairly large tournament. 27 players, I think, which is pretty cool for a single tournament this early on. And there were some indicators that might draw the first outline, at least for the Philippine meta, but maybe for what is good and not in the world. That's it. The Philippine meta was at least for the top eight. So I've seen all the contenders used, and the top eight is the ones I'm mostly interested in. They're probably good players, all of them, but there might be someone in the lower ranks like me that are just casual players, but competing because they can. I'm not going to say I'm not going to be competing if I get the chance, but I probably will, if I get the chance. Anyway, there were 27 players. Oh, a little over a third were running Torg in total. And that is reflected very well in the top eight, where there were five Torgs and two Clarities and a single Pestilence. The only Pestilence in the entire tournament, so a tip of the hat there. Well played, man. But five Torgs in the top eight, and a little over a third in the complete meta. That is very red heavy. So maybe we found the strongest contender in Torg. Yeah, what I did notice about the top eight was almost everyone in the top eight played blue. They played red, of course, because almost everyone played blue except a Clarity and a Pestilence deck, I think. Don't quote me on that one. I know the Pestilence did not play blue, but everyone else played blue. And one more. And what blue did they play? Well, they played Haven. So, of course, they're going to have Ramp, the Bountiful Collector. No surprise, really. When you can Ramp, you can get ahead. If you get ahead in resources, you can do more stuff. So, they ran red. They ran blue with Haven, and at least the deck lists we've seen. So, we haven't seen all the deck lists. I don't think we're going to see all the decklists, but we've got a pretty good view of some of them. Thank you, Rising Empire, for providing those. And they were running Here Comes the Boom and Haven Bountiful Collector as the two main cards, almost as staples in those decks, but not quite. What was interesting is there was only one monocolor. That would have been me. Very, very low in the ranks. I think dead last. I think it was a mono black death deck. The predominant thing was to run two or three colors. And I think there were a single five color in the top eight even. Notably that the last color, the black, was from Alpha Asta, if I remember correctly. So, monocolor is not a thing. You have to do at least two, maybe three colors in order to compete. That was the takeaways from the Philippine tournament. Interesting. I would have liked to see some of the gameplay, but then again, that was not arranged, I think. I might be wrong down the line. But that set the stage for the upcoming Level Up in the end of April, I think. And now for spoilers. So there's been quite a few spoilers, but I'm going to call this the Green Fortnight, because I'm only going to touch on green cards. There's been a few black ones, interesting, but the green cards were the one taking the duty. And the first two I'm going to touch on is we have a new contender, or really a return of a contender. We're going to have Magnate the Indomitable Will. Well, not the Indomitable Will. Magnate Indomitable Will, which is a 25 health contender. It is not as much his abilities that is... that is interesting to me, at least. He looks to me very much like playing Magnate. So the strategy have not changed so that the character is not Magnate, which is tip of the hat there. Hats off, good work. He does get the trigger victory ability, where he can draw a card if he when trigger victory on the contender of all things. Cool. Why a contender would trigger victory? Well, he has two in attack. As the first contender, he has a two attack and not a zero or a one, but two attacks. So he's a bit more powerful, and he's a bit more powerful. He might actually get a victory in. At least in the beginning, attacking small things and taking damage for it. But then again, the victory is first coming to effect. He's around 15 life, but still, he may get some cool stuff in. And if nothing else, then we have a new class of cards, so to speak. There's a green weapon coming out, which is a contender weapon, so it can only be attached to a contender, which is new. It is also in green. It is Gamma Fire, which is very much a Magnate thing. So now he gets a weapon. He gets bigger, and he gets a weapon. So the text on this: it costs two to attach, it costs three to play, and it says whenever the attached contender attacks, you may engage this card. If you do, deal one damage to all clash cards defending player controls. You may send this card to oblivion. If you do, deal three damage instead. And this card can only be attached to a Magnate contender. So this is sort of the green version of Here Comes the Boom, or what? It looks, to me, it looks very powerful, and having weapons for contenders is really interesting. Opens a lot of space. Interesting that Magnate's the first. It makes perfect sense. The Gamma Fire. I'm gonna guess here. Maybe, just maybe, that will be a contender weapon for Moxie. That would make so much sense. Or maybe for Weber. Don't know. When he comes out, too. I'm thinking we might get a contender weapon for Moxie at some point. That would be my guess. Maybe for Mean Streak. Doesn't make that much sense. So that was the first combination, and if I'm not going to waffle on forever and ever, I'm going to have to move on. The third card I want to touch on, the third release, is of course the Avenging Guy, which, as someone said on I think Facebook, now he's doing something, which is it's a funny card. I get him from the story, and he's not doing much, which is very equivalent to what he did in the novel. He's not doing much. Now he's doing something. But the interesting thing is, the card is called Avenging Guy Doing Something, which both relates to he's actually maybe useful now, and the fact that that is what he says he's doing. He's doing something. Anyway, he's a 3-3 for 4, which is decent. And he has a trigger enter effect that says search your deck for a weapon card with Whistler in its name. Put it into your accessory zone and then shuffle your deck. Now, we don't know what accessory cards or weapon cards with Whistler is or was supposed to do. Well, it's a weapon. I'm guessing from the picture that is, and the fact that it's a Avenging Guy, that's an arrow of some sort. So maybe this one-time use weapon we also saw with the contender weapon might be something we continue. At least that would be interesting. So there's a few interesting things coming in Unrivaled in that respect. Small things that make something like the accessory zone of traps and things like that more useful, broader useful. And speaking of traps, so we had Ambush earlier, but I may have come up with some disparaging comments about traps not really being useful. And as soon as I did that on Discord, someone corrected me and said, well, what about this one? And okay, fair, I'll give you that. They're in blue, you can do some stuff for trap, at least a single. Single trap clash buff combination, but generally the trap mechanic has not been very well explored, in my opinion. That might be about to change. One thing is with Ambush, we touched that 14 days ago, but the next one is a trap card. A green trap card came out. It costs 6, and I know having 6 out is quite a lot of resources to have open, but you can reduce the cost by 1 green. It's a green 6 by 1 green by having Harbinger Clash cards in your Oblivion. You can reduce this to 2. Why is that a big thing? Let me tell you what it does. It gives minus. It triggers enter. It triggers attack, and it gets -6/-6 to attacking clash card. That is huge. And if that clash card is defeated, you get to activate the portal. So for any Harbinger, that is important. And it doesn't care that they are green Harbinger cards or Pestilence Harbinger cards. It just cares that it's Harbinger cards. So this would go in any deck where you can just let it sit there. That 6 costs... that -6/-6 shows some usefulness quite late in the game. So you where you won't be paying the 6, so you could potentially pop this off for only two of any colour.
That is cool.
I want to have a playset of this, and I want to put it in my war deck, which really needs to get rid of those big ones, especially the big flyers, which is sort of struggling with. So, I hadn't told the name of that. Oh my gosh. It's called Dreadful Decimation, which is a perfect name for this. But at least, that is a cool card. There's a cool mechanics, cool cards. I'm quite stoked to see what else is in Unrivaled, or at least to explore those mechanics. I hope, sort of at the point where I hope there's not too much more coming out in terms of new mechanics. We want to be able to absorb it. But it looks very cool, and I'm really looking forward to the black discard contender. That is going to be cool. Anyway, that was it for me today. I've waffled on for way, way, way too long. Hopefully next week will be a bit shorter. I'm at work, so bye for now.